Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The 21st century spilling out before us. War, clashes, doubts, anxieties, all of it right now in the war in Ukraine. But what does the immediate future look like to 2050, to 2090? I welcome Jacek Bartoszek, the CEO of Strategy and Future, based in Poland, Warsaw, writing analysis for Geopolitical Futures about a term of art, scalable war, scalable clash. Jacek, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. What is a scalable war or scalable clash when applied to the landscape in Europe and the landscape around the globe? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks. Thank you for, you know, inviting me over to your program. Basically, what we are seeing now across Eurasia is the end of the American primacy and the unipolar moment, and that brings in the period of chaos, wars, proxy wars, coercion, compellence, hardball real politics. That could be called a scalable world war. You know, if we have a broad definition of war, which means that I compel you to do something, or I threaten you to coerce you to do something, and if you do it against your will, because there are no rules, and there is only a rule and the right of the stronger, then we have sort of the war. And with the U.S. primacy gone, Eurasia is in flames already. It has started. War in Ukraine, turmoil around Taiwan, trade conflicts, lack of agreements between great powers, between the United States, China, and Russia on how and what rules are operating in the world system. So this is as if you were having a company in which the shareholders cannot agree on how the company is operating. And if they don't come to terms and there is no court, international court, that is an arbitration court, because the international system is chaotic. So usually this is being adjudged by coercion, by force, by military, by other leverages, trade, technology, different ways of controlling the strategic flows, movement of people, goods, trade, and so on. And this has already started. So we have a scalable war. The difference between the First World War and the Second World War or Napoleonic Wars and this war is that there are thermonuclear weapons, which means that the entire escalation ladder is covered with the capabilities that could be fielded, as opposed to the Second World War, where most you could do was send the strategic bombers. Of course, you know, at the end of the war, there was nuclear weapon, but only the nuclear weapon, and or send the Panzer Division. You couldn't annihilate the whole country, you know, all of the cities of this country, and so on and so forth. Now, with the full escalation in, you know, that the parties can operate, you simply need to use your force intelligently, smartly, by applying force according to the rules of escalation. And this is visible in Ukraine. The United States is calculating its response and its help to Ukraine. Russia also is calculating its behavior. For example, it is not bombing Poland. That is a staging area for weaponry delivery to Ukraine. In the normal course of events, they would. But there is NATO, there is the United States, so they are afraid of escalation and making it a, you know, all out war. So this is what the scalable war is all about. It's not only about the kinetic aspect, but it's all about energy, food, everything that is a leverage becomes a weapon.
I understand. You identify that the U.S. and China agree that the global order no longer serves their purposes. What is striking is you observe that Europe has not come to that understanding, that Europe wants the status quo ante, or back, they want to go back to the 1990s, the great promise of globalization. Europe is the battlefield right now. It's the chessboard where everything is being played upon. And all of those weapons you just talked about, the food weapon, the energy weapon, the kinetic weapons, the rockets throwing at each other. Europe sees this, but is reluctant to acknowledge it. Is it moving in that direction? I believe Poland acknowledges this is happening. What about Germany? What about France? What about the UK? Do they see it?
Yeah, that's a very good question, very valid question. It boils down to the issue of what is Europe. Is it a unified entity where there is a centralized decision-making process and there is a common threat perception? And the problem is that this is not. And the war in Ukraine revealed that. Germany and France had a different opinion about what role of Russia should play vis-a-vis Europe. For sure, they have completely opposite opinion compared to what Poles were thinking, Lithuanians and others, and also, I think, Americans and the British. And that splits Europe apart. Also, there is the problem of solidarity in Europe. Now, Germans are saying about solidarity in terms of the gas, because they are short on gas, Poland is not, and they want us to share the natural gas with them. The problem is that in the past, they were not solid. They were not such, in solidarity on other aspects with other countries in the periphery of Europe. Plus, Europe doesn't have military. Europe doesn't have its own energy resources that would be sufficient to maintain the sort of the sustainability of the industrial project of Europe, so that the European industry is not competitive, is still competitive on the world market. And that creates a problem. Europe needs to have a new deal on how it's going to be competitive on the world market in this new geopolitical era of great power competition in Eurasia, where markets will be blocked by political constraints. There is a decoupling from globalization, and Europe doesn't have instruments to operate in this new hostile environment. No military, no unified government, no hard leverages, no energy on its own. And there are many other deficiencies as well. And other great powers, other centers of powers like China, Russia, even the United States will be playing. And this is exactly what Russians did in Ukraine. This was, as Thomas Schelling used to call it, the forced negotiation to prove that Russia is a player on the European chessboard and that the West should better reckon with that quickly. The problem is that Ukrainians showed that they must be reckoned with as well. And that put a hold on Russian plans. But this was not in the interest of Germany, who were dependent on the cheap and their social model and their industrial model and their business model of operating. The economic model was based on access to cheap energy from Russia so that their yields would be sustained and productivity and competitiveness on the world market could be maintained. And this is a question mark come this winter. We will see what happens. So far, Europe seems vulnerable. If it consolidates, if it passes this test, we might have a new, strong Europe, maybe. But increasingly, I doubt that this is going to happen. And that will relegate Europe to the backwater of world geopolitics, the playground of great powers. And my dear country of Poland, I think our government is rather betting on the second, more concerning, more disconcerting option, and is trying to reform the military and get ready for the new era of great tensions that will be very close to Poland.
The Shape of Things to Come, H.G. Wells' title, The Shape of War to Come. I'm speaking with Jacek Bartoszyk, who is the CEO of Strategy and Future in Warsaw, Poland. We're looking at the large scale of globalization over what now. When we come back, we're going to look at a recent event and how it has influenced this shaping battlefield in Europe, the visit of the Speaker of the House to Taiwan, and the strange and repetitive response from the People's Republic of China to fire missiles in all directions. What did that mean for Europe? When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.